It's called Gifts from the Father's Heart. And this is part one. And I went through and found 24 that are gifts that God's given. And what I want to do is go through those today. We won't get to the gifts, I don't think, today. But I found another one today. I haven't quite figured where to put it. but there's actually 25, and I may include it in a different one. So, but I think it's going to be good, and it'll bring forth some revelation knowledge for us. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, your word is so awesome. It is absolute truth. We set our love upon you, Father. We set our love upon you, Jesus. We set our love upon you, Holy Spirit. And we set our love upon the living Word of God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring forth revelation knowledge tonight as we study the Father's heart. Lord, you know the Father's heart. You know, Holy Spirit, you know the Father intimately. You search the depths of his heart. And you search the depths of our heart. Impart to us revelation knowledge of this wonderful, wonderful love of God that lives and abides in all of us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Gifts from the Father's heart. And I call it part one because I know there's more than one. Have you ever heard the statement, Jesus is the reason for the season? We have all heard that phrase at one time or another. I mean, all of us have.
Well, God gave me... On TV and everywhere.
You hear it everywhere, even commercially. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring that out. And it's correct. There's nothing wrong with that statement, but it's only halfway. It's only half of the truth about Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season for all of mankind, or at least he should be. He should be. It's sad that for many people, even Christians, it's not the reason for the season. They're so wrapped up in commercialism, so wrapped up in the running around and all the things that have nothing to do with Christmas. And they really don't know. It's sad that they really don't know what Christmas is. They really don't. And we as ministers have a responsibility to teach our people. What does the Word say about it? Well, what about God's angle of view? See, I always do that. Everything I teach, I try to look not from my angle of view so much. There's always a God angle of view. And that's the one that matters, isn't it? There's no other view that matters. Everything else has to fall into that angle of view. Well, is Jesus the reason for the season? Yes, for mankind. But God had a different reason. God had a totally different reason, and it is the real reason for Christmas. From God's angle of view, mankind, you and I, are the reason for the season. You and I and all of mankind, past, present, and future, are the entire reason that Jesus was born. Notice I didn't say the reason for Christmas. I said it, the entire reason that Jesus was born. It took over 4,000 years for everything to be in perfect order. For Jesus to be born. Many of us just see the manger and poof, there was a baby. If you're a mother or have been or been around children, you know it's not poof, there's a baby. There's a process involved, isn't there? But the process for Jesus' birth took 9 months, just like everybody else, but more than 9 months. It took 4,000 years for everything to be in the perfect order for Jesus to be born. No wonder all of the angels, and I firmly believe, all of heaven itself were celebrating that night. I don't think that we understand the fullness of what happened that night. We get such a small view of it. Even if we study those scriptures, think about it, there's so much more going on there. Heaven, God, all the angels, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all of them spent that 4,000 years getting everything knit together just right. He couldn't have been born at any other time other than that specific time.
Yeah, I know they show, they have movies and books and stuff about what would happen if Jesus was here now, if he came today or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we got to remember, too, what one of the aspects of, and you might cover this, I don't want to butt in on you, but one of the aspects of the timing was there was going to be Jesus and his, a generation is 40 years, he was slightly less than 40 years, but one more generation, 40 more years, would have been AD 70, and that's when Rome destroyed Israel forever.
Yeah.
Mm. It was there's the last so many things. Possible chance for Israel.
In that time, there's so many things that we don't understand that was involved in that. We don't understand, when you read the Old Testament, all of those covenants, all of those men and women that lived, they were directly linked to that night. That night, mm-hmm. when he was born. Every one of them, God was building. He was putting in the hearts of the people. He was putting people in specific places.
And the amount of time that it took each person to mm-hmm. get to the point where they did their part.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I read Billy Graham's book. It's called Just As I Am. It's his autobiography. Mm-hmm. And he says in that book, God revealed to him that he was not his first choice.
Yeah.
He chose someone else, and they said no.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, I think of this all the time. I wonder how many other virgins God went to before he found one that said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever think of that?
I thought of that.
I think of that all the time.
I thought about,
kind of stuff
about
like
Abraham
that.
The same way.
Yeah. How many people did he go through before he found someone who would say yes?
They had to be. Certain things had to be there. Mm-hmm. If Abraham hadn't went up on that mount and was bringing that knife down to kill his son, mm-hmm. there would have been no reason for Jesus to come.
Right.
It's directly linked to that. And we don't understand that. We don't understand the linking between Resurrection Day or Easter and the birth. They're inexplicably, I guess that's the right word, that's not the right word.
Inseparable.
They cannot be separated in time or eternity. They had to be that way. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I think about a lot. And when I put all that together and I meditate on it, I don't know how many times I've read that, how many times I've ministered about it, how many times I've thought about it and heard messages. It always comes back when I read the scriptures about the angels. And I firmly believe that they couldn't hold it back. There was so much joy in heaven, so much joy.
They blew it apart.
Over 4,000 years watching God, watching Jesus, watching the Holy Spirit, watching these people in their place. And one more brick would be put in, another brick. Throughout all that time, the patience of God, the mercy of God. And it all started at Adam's fall when he told Satan, there's one coming. That plan started. It says Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. We can't comprehend that. Wasn't there any other way? No, there wasn't any other way. Jesus even prayed that, Father, if there be any other way in the garden, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. He laid his life down. I can't get enough of that. We're going to look not at all of the Christmas story, but just a specific part in Luke 2, 8 through 16. There's so much I want to cover, and we can't go through the whole thing, but this is the specific night that we need to look at. Again, keep in your mind, not only was there a 9 months here, but there's 4,000 years plus here to get to this point. And I think about, we're going to Luke 2, 8 through 16. I always think about Mary. Now, I haven't had a baby. I don't plan on having a baby. I mean, I'm familiar with what goes on, but
it was. Well, this is Bee's birthday.
Yeah.
We'll never forget that, will we?
23 inches of snow.
The ambulance got stuck. We had to get our neighbor out to take me to the hospital.
Yeah, and the ambulance got stuck on the way down there.
Yeah.
So we had to get the neighbor to get.
Oh, my word.
And they met us up in another town 5 miles away with chains on. You know, see, she rode all the way out there, but with the chains, she was a day late, but the chains and all of that, I think about Mary. You know, they didn't have limousines to ride in or ambulances.
And there's only tradition that says she rode that donkey.
She rode something.
She probably walked.
Could be.
I'm sure they walked.
But I would think that they would have had her on some kind of conveyance of some kind. I mean, she's ready. I don't know how far it is from where they were to Bethlehem, but it wasn't next door.
No.
And if she actually rode that donkey, can you imagine that ride? Mm. That was a rough ride. Yeah, I think about things like, I try to put myself in what's going on. And try to look at everything that's going on around there. And I ask the Holy Spirit to show me. So let's start here and look at this. Now we got to get the picture of this. You know, how long have these shepherds been doing what they've been doing? Nobody knows. Probably their whole life. Nothing different about this night. It's dark out here. I don't know how many lambs they had, but they had, how many sheep? They probably had a field full here that they were taking care of.
I'm sure.
Probably more than just one or two shepherds.
Well, and I always kind of had the idea that since Bethlehem, I think it's only like 8 miles from Jerusalem, and a lot of that agriculture there supported the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had to have thousands and thousands of sheep
They could have been doing it for the temple.
That's what I think. I think these were temple herds.
They could have very well been. Mm-hmm. We don't say, and that's not important for us to know. Mm-hmm. But if you get the picture here, this is no different than any other night, probably 40 years or more some of them been doing it. Yeah. You can hear the little wolf maybe out in the background, out on the hill somewhere. They got a little campfire going, maybe, and they're sitting around that campfire. Dog is running around. I'm sure they had a dog, you know. And the stars are out, and it's clear. And they're probably getting tired. They've had maybe something to eat, and they're talking back and forth. You know, we should go over to that other field tomorrow, you know. They're talking back and forth like they always did. And then let's read this. I like to get the image of what's going on. How would I react if I was a shepherd like that? Luke 2, 8 through 16. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. They, according to that, they didn't have a house. They lived out there. So this is something that they did that was their life. Living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, like I said, 2-3 hours in the dark that night, no different than any other night, it's dark. All of a sudden, boom, here's this angel, and there's light everywhere. What would you do? I don't know what I would do, but I would most certainly be startled. This is not normal. And that angel, they weren't no short shrimps. They're big. And angel, I don't know whether, I don't see him coming walking in where they say, hey Joe, who's that coming this way? No, what it says here, suddenly. So I believe he just, poof, disappeared, you know, and with him came the light. Now, I also wonder about the sheep. Mm. Well, sheep are easily scared. Yeah. I don't think they were. Uh-oh. I think there was such a presence of God when that angel appeared that the sheep didn't run. There's nothing says that. Mm-hmm. That's just me. That's just Michael. Uh-huh. I think they were sleeping or laying out there like they always do at night. Uh-huh. They could have run away. But people don't look at the sheep. I think about that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, this dude's standing here, and I don't know who he is, but he's a whopper. And it's definitely light out here. Okay. Verse 9 again. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting that whenever an angel or Jesus appears, that's the first thing they say?
Yeah.
Do not be afraid. Why? Because fear is of the devil. He doesn't want you to be afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, he didn't say to the Jews. He said to all people, for there is born to you this day, I like the way he said, he didn't say, now there's born to Mary and Joseph. Didn't say that. He said, there's born to you. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Swaddling clothes means basically whatever they could come up with.
A blanket.
Something, you know, some kind of cloth.
Diaper.
And a manger was not what we think a manger was. It was a trough. You know, it was a feeding place for the animals. And it probably stunk. You know, it was a barn, okay? But the most sanitary place to have a baby. Now, she was crying in there probably when she was having that child. It was not the most comfortable place to have a child.
Well, just around the back from the inn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not where you have babies, out in that place. But anyways, verse 13. And suddenly, another suddenly, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that, I mean, that's one thing for one dude to pop up here. But now all of a sudden there's a host of them, all alike.
The sky's full of them.
Just get kind of an inner picture of this. A moment ago, they were sitting around a campfire in the dark. A few sentences later, where are they at? And the message, this was Gabriel, they said, after he gave his message, Gabriel gave his message to them, suddenly they appear. And these angels are all together saying, glory to God. And there's a multitude of angels saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Don't pass that up. That right there is a major statement. What happened in the garden? Man fell, completely separated from God. And God has spent 4,000 years to get to the place where he can bring a relationship back with man again. But he had to get, it had to come through a man. It couldn't, a man caused the fall, a man had to put it back together. It had to be a man. Couldn't be Jesus himself as what he was. He had to drop all of his Godhead and be a sinless man. That's why in Genesis, if you read it, it doesn't say the seed of the man. He says the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. Women don't have the seed. Man does. Mm-hmm. Why did he say that? Because he forecast a virgin right back there in the garden. Right back there in the garden, he said there was going to be a virgin. That the Holy Spirit would be the Father. God the Father would be the Father of this one. Man's not connected other than by the woman.
And I always think, too, I'd like to have been a fly on that wall. Yes. She told what happened to Joseph. You know, and he's, I mean, the angel told him to accept it and follow through with
and he
it.
Did.
Go ahead and get married and all that stuff. But, you know, did he just look at her and say, you know that scripture about the virgin with child? That's you.
Yeah.
You know, several times Jesus said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's you, Mom. That's you, Mary.
Well, she probably told him.
Yeah.
And then like, it went off.
I don't know. They always said it was going to be this, but I think it's going to be this.
But who am I? You know, I'm just a carpenter.
I mean, they had explanations that they taught them in their synagogues, but...
Well, praise God. There's so
this
much...
real thing here.
That statement right there, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, when you say it's toward something, that means it's got a source. Mm-hmm. It's coming from someplace. Whatever it is, I'm going toward St. James, or I'm going toward whatever it might be. I'm going toward the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So you start somewhere and you go somewhere. You're going toward that. Here it says, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Why did they say it that way? Because all this time there was a separation between God and man. Now, after 4,000 years plus, now God has a way that he can say goodwill toward man. There's no more, I'm not holding these things against you. This is your Savior. This is your way. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what was going on when he said that there. Goodwill towards man. In other words, God is saying, I have a good will towards you now. That's so awesome. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. I guess so. Announcement like that, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I always thought, too, why didn't the angel appear to Mary and Joseph instead of the shepherds? He already had appeared to her. He already gave the word to her. They knew what was going on here. These shepherds represent the lowest of the low. And that's where Jesus always goes. Isn't it? Praise God. That's so exciting to me. But we can see here in this section of Scripture, we're talking about gifts from the Father's heart. We can see that the gift of this moment from God was 4,000 plus years in preparation. That blows my mind. It blows my mind. You know, all I can say is that's mercy. 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 And if you don't know God's merciful, I don't know why you don't. But that's just awesome to me. The one and only reason that Jesus came into this world was because man was separated from God. That's the only reason. That's why that 4,000 years plus. That's why the birth and the announcement to this. I just know all of heaven was shouting. I know they were. They had to be. That is so awesome to me. The one and only reason that Jesus came into this world was because man was separated from God. He didn't have to come into this world to become resurrected and become Jesus, the second part of the Trinity, being seated at the right hand of the Father. He was already there. He let all that go to come here. Let's look at John 3:16, and we're going to use the Amplified here in this case. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. That's why that night with the shepherds, that's why the scripture, along with the scripture of the 4,000 years that we're talking about, to me, that all shows the very heart of God. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. That's the reason that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. We don't have time to go to Genesis 3:15, but him, praise God. Hallelujah. That is awesome. Greatly loved and dearly prized. At any time, God could say, okay, this rotten bunch, I've already spent 2,000. I'm not going to spend another 2,000. Actually, he's spending 6,000 plus, because now he's waiting for his family to come home. But all of that is connected, praise God. And then he said, but verse 17 there is important when you do John 3:16, because so many people really genuinely believe that Jesus was sent to judge the world. And after 4,000 years and what Adam did, you can understand that kind of thinking. But that's not why he came. They don't know the loving kindness and tender mercies of God. He wanted to do this the moment Adam fell. I know he did. That's why he said there's one coming. Glory to God. So the greatest gift ever given was Jesus. The ultimate gift of love. There's no greater gift than the gift of Jesus himself. And we're talking about gifts from the Father's heart. John 1:10-13. This is the New King James. And this verse, these verses here, kind of caused me to kind of cloud up. Because after realizing all that God has done, everything he did to get Jesus here, they didn't receive him. John 1:10-13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That part that did not receive him, that clouds me up. when you think about the gift of God here, the gifts God's given, and the gifts we give, a real gift comes from the heart and is given in love without wanting or desiring anything in return. No strings attached. If something is expected in return, the gift is no longer a gift. I want to read that again because it's important that we understand this. A real gift comes from the heart and is given in love without wanting or desiring anything in return. No strings attached. If something is expected in return, the gift is no longer a gift. Does that make sense? You know, a gift you give it from the heart. Well, I wonder what they're going to give me. Well, what happens if they don't give you anything? Did the gift come as an exchange so you get something better? Or was it given from your heart? If it's given from the heart, that is the return. And God, when he gave his only begotten son, he gave it with all of his heart. He knew that people would respond. There'd be some because of seed sowing. But that's not why he gave it. He gave it so there would be a way if man chose it. If they didn't, he would still give it. When we give gifts, what's the motive behind it? A real gift costs the giver something and is a blessing to the receiver. That cost may not be monetary. It may not be monetary. There's gifts in this room right here that I've been given that has no monetary value. But to me, they are extremely valuable. There's no price can be placed on them. We need this kind of revelation in order to understand what God was doing and why and how he did it. The greatest giver of all time and eternity is God himself. He never stops giving. He never will. He cannot do anything other than love flows outward. And God is love. Because God is love, that love has to flow to someone. He's constantly, always giving of himself. John 1:16. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. I love that. Gift heaped upon gift. You know, hey, I'm not done yet. Here's some more. You know, that's the way God's looking at this. Praise God. That's our Father. Now, let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Another scripture that's showing us how great a giver God is. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. I don't think we can get that in our finite minds. See, but love has to be satisfied. It has to be given. And he had to do this. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship, in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He gave us the very life of Christ, another gift from God in the Father's heart. I'm going to stop there because I'm starting the gifts after this. There are, like I said earlier, 24 gifts that I've found, 25 now. I'll probably include it in one of them. But the trouble with doing this, every time I study something, every time I prepare for the next week, I find something else. They keep growing. But that you can call actual gifts that mention the fact that they are gifts from God. I found 24, and we're going to go through those and just a couple of scriptures on each one. I don't think we'll spend much time, but I'm not doing this. He is. He's liable to show us something we don't know. I'm expecting revelation knowledge. But keep what we talked about tonight in mind as we go through these. I think it's important to see the Father's heart while and why he's doing it, what his motive is. It's just, to me, it's just so awesome that the creator of everything loves us that much. You know, no one can say they're not loved, even if they feel like they are. Wow. No one can say that and be truthful. They can feel that way, but where's that coming from? That's coming from Satan. He doesn't want people to know this. He doesn't want people to know the heart of God, to know how good God really is. He doesn't want that. He's got to keep pointing out, well, if God was good, why is there are so many tragedies in the world? You caused them, Satan. Sin caused that. God didn't. God's busy fixing it. But wake up. Well, Father, we thank you for this time together in the Word. I enjoyed it. I pray, Lord, that there was revelation here tonight, not only for us that's here, but for those that will hear this message and series through the internet and through other places, Lord. I thank you so much. Lord, there's no way we can adequately say thank you for all that you've done. When you consider Adam, and all that he had, Adam and Eve, and all the fullness that he knew of you, and all the love you were able to pour out on him, and all the plans you had for him. Oh, Lord, and then he fell. But you didn't stop there. He was deceived. He shouldn't have been, but he was. And now, Father, you made a way through Jesus Christ that we can come to you. We can be reunited with our loving Father for all of eternity. And I thank you for that, Father. Continue to bring forth revelation knowledge. Continue to show forth your heart to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.